number 247.
Glory he sheds on our way.
Morning. I would also like to greet you with the words of Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And truly, we have the privilege of gathering here in his grace. In his grace, through Jesus Christ, we have gathered here. And I want to welcome all who are tuning in by live stream as well. We know that it is a wonderful thing that we have a privilege of being able to still celebrate the love of Christ and to worship him together in spirit and to be encouraged one of another, and especially by the Word of God. It is so important that we do not forget what God says to us, and that he loves us, he cares for us, he wants us to be in fellowship with him at all times. We are to pray without ceasing. We are to rejoice in the hope that we have in him. And truly, it is a wonderful blessing that he has blessed us so greatly with. Let us bow for prayer. Lord God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this wonderful day that you again have granted us, a day which you, Lord, have ordained for us to set aside and to honor you and to praise you and to give our bodies rest, to be an encouragement one toward another and to lift each other up in prayer. And so, Lord, we pray for all that are heavy laden. We pray for those that are not well. We pray for those in hospitals, for the sick, the lonely, the elderly, those in care homes who are so lonely. We pray, Lord, for comfort. We pray for healing. We pray for strength and that our faith will be strengthened. Lord, that we will be drawn closer to you by the trials that we face in this life, whether it is through illness or whether it is through other things in this life that we feel that aren't perhaps quite fair. Yet, may we draw to you and may we allow your spirit to be our comfort and our strength. Lord, we thank you for our country. We pray for our country. We pray that there will be a revival, that we who are calling ourselves by your name, that we will draw closer to you and humble ourselves and pray and honor you and repent of the sins that we so often find ourselves just living in, taking life for granted so much. We pray for our leaders, that you will give them wisdom, and that you, Lord, will teach them how it is that you want them to lead and guide, and Lord, that they will allow you to lead and guide them in truth by your Spirit, and that each one of us will be encouraged by your word as we listen today. We thank you, Lord, for the many blessings that you bestow upon us. You bless us with rain. You bless us with sunshine. You bless us with wind and storms in our life, so that we too can be strengthened, that our roots can grow stronger in you. And we pray that you will speak to us this morning and that we will follow your leading. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, it is my desire to once again encourage one and all who listen to the words that God has for us this morning. Jesus, in John chapter 7, verse 37 and 38, says this, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." What a wonderful encouragement to each and every one, that if we thirst, if we have a thirst for Jesus, he says, let him come. Jesus always drew people to himself. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, I will. It's a promise. He says here, if you thirst, if you have that desire for God, he says, come and drink. Take it in. Take in the word of God which he has for us. Allow it to sink in. Allow it to give us the joy that he has come to give to all of mankind. And we know that when we read through Scripture, that the only way that we can come to the point of having joy, true joy in life, is only by us putting our faith in Jesus Christ. In this world, many people are seeking to have a lot of fun. They are seeking to have this inner joy, and they walk away empty. They don't know how to get that, because they are looking for it in the wrong places. They are not looking for it in Jesus Christ. We live in a time of much confusion. There is much confusion in many people. And I believe, and I have come to the point, that confusion comes because we build on each other. We are building off of people. We are not building on God. We are not building on faith in Jesus Christ. But rather, we are building on people. We are listening to all kinds of messages, and it is not what God has for us, it is what people have for us. And it is causing us to become confused. And the more we come confused, the more we seem to build off each other, and we try to justify ourselves and actually even seek encouragement from building off each other, instead of turning to the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to lift us up and to encourage us, to show us the way of truth. When Jesus walked in this world, this world was terribly confused. They did not know what was truth. They did not know which way they were to turn. Jesus came and taught them, and then there was the scribes and the Pharisees, and they were teaching the people, and people were confused. But the fact was that Jesus, his coming, had already been prophesied in the Old Testament. And people were not accepting the fact that there was a time where God was fulfilling his plan. And so they were confused between what the scribes and the Pharisees taught and what Jesus taught. But what did Jesus say? If you thirst, come unto me. Come unto me. If you are heavy laden, if you are confused, come to Jesus. I have often said this in my ministry. Don't ever follow me. When I teach you from the Word of God, follow what the Word of God teaches, but don't follow any man, any person. When we follow people, we will become confused because it is not the truth, not always the truth, I should say. Not every person will always speak the truth. And that causes confusion. When Jesus taught, and there were great multitudes that came to him and they listened to him, he taught them of God's love. He taught them to be encouraged, to have joy. And he, as he was doing this, in the Sermon on the Mount, he ends that message with these words, and I want to share them with you. Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. What Jesus says here is, whosoever heareth. Today, we don't know how many are hearing because it is on live stream. This message can go through the whole world and people can listen to it wherever they want. But Jesus says, if you are hearing, if you are hearing and doing these sayings of mine, he does not just say if you are hearing, but he says hearing and doing. Then I will liken you unto a wise man. He wants us to build on a good, strong foundation. He wants us to build upon the rock. Jesus says here, that wise man, he built his house upon a rock. But when we think spiritually, it is definitely building on Jesus. That is what we need to build on. Not on the things of this world, not on the things that this world has to offer us in any way, but on the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not on the law. The law was fulfilled by Jesus Christ, and Jesus taught that in his Sermon on the Mount, that he came to fulfill that law. And when he fulfilled that law, he taught the people to live in and by grace, to live in such a way so that they could have freedom, that they could have peace. And he wanted them to be able to have an understanding of what that firm foundation was, that rock on which they were to build. When we turn into the book of Psalms, the Psalms there in Psalm 111, verse 10, says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Now, Jesus is talking about a wise man. The psalmist says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What does it mean to fear the Lord? It means to reverence, to honor those things that God, that Jesus has taught us. He says, that is where wisdom begins. And Jesus says, if you will build upon the rock, he says, you are a wise man. What is the definition of wisdom? It is to be able to apply knowledge. To apply knowledge, not have knowledge. We very often confuse wisdom with, you know, people that know a lot of things. And we say, those are wise people. But according to the scripture, that isn't what wisdom means. And that isn't what Jesus is talking about when he says that we are, that he says that a person that builds upon that rock is a wise man. It's not what he's talking about. He says it is somebody that hears and does. So we hear and then we do what he says, what the word of God tells us. That is a wise man, says Jesus. The psalmist says, and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. When we build on Jesus, when we build on the word of God, and we apply that to our lives, we will have a good understanding. We will not feel that we are forced to keep his commandments in any way. But much rather, we will praise him. That praise will be there because we enjoy serving Christ. We enjoy doing those things that he has commanded us, that we are called to live faithfully in. And we do not feel that we are under pressure in any way. And you know, that gives us that peace which passes all understanding, that the world cannot understand, that they cannot live in, because they do not have the Spirit of God which is present with them. James also writes about this, and he writes about how we are to be those faithful doers of the word. We want to look at James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. James talks about being doers of the word, not only hearers. Jesus says, hear and do. James says, doers and not just hearers. And so we know that we need to apply. We need to apply God's word to our lives. We need to do what it teaches us. And James says it this way: if we are only hearers and not doers, we are deceiving our own self. Nobody wants to be deceived by anybody. We don't like that when somebody deceives us. But have you ever thought about how you can deceive yourself? What I understand from James is when I don't do what I hear of the Word of God, I am deceiving myself. And so it is not others then that are deceiving me, it is me myself that I am deceiving myself because I am not being obedient to what God's Word teaches me. Have you ever looked into the mirror? I believe each and every one of us probably looked in the mirror this morning. I did. More than once. I looked in the mirror at home. I combed my hair. I know that. I looked in the mirror when I got here and I combed my hair, and maybe they're out of place again. I don't know. But what I do know is I have already forgotten what I saw. How many of you can clearly remember what you looked like this morning? And that is what James is telling us here. If we are only hearers and we are not doers, we are like that. We hear, but there is no application. We don't do. And so it is like we've forgotten. Yes, there is somewhere a very faint memory, but that's all. There is no depth. There is no building upon a rock, on something that will stand, if we don't apply what God's Word teaches us. And so, if we don't apply, we are also not free, because we are set free by the love of Christ. And we need to believe that. But he says here, but whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that law of liberty, that law of freedom, which Christ has come to give, and continueth therein, walks in that grace, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, not word here, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So we have a promise of God. We have a promise that if we will not only be hearers, but also doers, we will be blessed. It is a promise that he gives to us. We then have that freedom. We have that grace in which we live. As our faith grows, as we grow in knowledge, as we grow in living in obedience, we also grow in grace. And so we grow stronger in the Lord. I also want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, where Peter writes about this as well. And I want to begin there in verse 6, where he says, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Again, an encouragement, a promise. He that believeth on that chief cornerstone, Jesus Christ, he is elect, he is precious, and if we believe on him, we shall not be confounded. Confounded means we shall not be ashamed or afraid. We shall be bold in the life that we are then living. Because we are not afraid. We are not ashamed. We can go forward and we can know that Jesus Christ is with me every step of the way that I am walking through life. Further, he says, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. Jesus is precious to me. Is he precious to you? Do you truly believe in Jesus that he has come to save us from our sins, to give us hope of eternal life by his resurrection, by him ascending into heaven to send us his Spirit, and that his Spirit is present with us everywhere we go, if only we love him. If we are living in that way, he is truly precious. He is more precious than anything we own, anything we have. Is Jesus our priority? He says further, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. They were appointed. Why? Because they have not put their faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus teaches us very clearly in John chapter 3 that if we don't believe, we are already condemned. So we need to believe. And if we believe, he is precious to us. But if we don't, if we do not have faith in Jesus Christ, he is a stumbling block to us. We stumble because there are things in our way so that we can have that freedom. And that, those things that are in our way are only those things of Christ that we know we should follow, but we don't because I want it my way. He encourages further and he says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Do we consider ourselves as being chosen? When he talks here about a generation, he doesn't mean about a period of time. Generation means a group of people, and nationality is what it refers to in some places. Like when it talks about the children of Israel and it talks about them being a generation, that is not just a 25-year span. But it is the generation of the children of Israel, that group of people. And we who are chosen, who have given ourselves to Christ, we are of that group of people. We are that generation who God refers to as a royal priesthood. He refers to us as a holy nation, a peculiar people. A people that is set apart for God, set apart to praise him. Why? Because we have been taken out of darkness. I know for many of us, we have grown into Christianity. Our parents taught us from the time that we were very small. They prayed with us, they prayed for us. They taught us about Jesus, and we grew into becoming Christians. And somewhere along the way, we decided, this is what I want, and I'm going to follow Christ. And we may not know the exact time and date, as some people do, but we have grown into it because our parents loved us. They loved us enough to teach us those things. And we have been called to be the praise message of God because we have been taken out of darkness. If we would not have been taught, where would we have learnt about Christ? But we have been taught and we have been drawn onto Christ. He says further, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. How are we doing? How are we doing in praising God? Are what we would refer to as the Gentile people, are they glorifying God because of the way we live? Or are they finding fault in us? It saddens me. I had the privilege of talking to a government official not long ago. And I believe that he knew I was a pastor, but he still let me have it. He told me the truth. And we, as church-going people, we often exalt ourselves and we think we are better. But he told me, I get so many phone calls. And a lot of them are from pastors. And he says, I have good conversations with some of them. But some of them, I ask myself the question. This is what he said. I ask myself the question, is that godly? And then I needed to look at myself. Am I presenting myself godly before other people? Before what we often refer to as people who don't believe? They are looking, they are watching. And am I praising God? He says further, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, I've been talking about liberty, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Not using my freedom for wickedness, to cover it up, because I am a Christian. Now, I can go ahead and do things. He says, you can't do that. You cannot use your freedom to cover up your malicious acts, your wicked, your naughtiness. That's what malicious means. But he says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. In other words, be respectful. God has given us, he has called us leaders in this country. He has called us to show respect, to honor, to live a life of godliness so that they can see us praising God, so that they too will be drawn to God. And that is what Jesus is talking about when he says that he has taught, his word teaches us, we need to build on that rock in order that we can stand firm. That regardless what kind of floods come, what kind of trials we may face, we will still stand strong in the name of Jesus. He will be precious. He will be our priority. In closing, let us pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, We thank you once again for this opportunity. We thank you for your word. And we thank you that your word teaches us the truth as to how we are to conduct ourselves in this world. That greatest truth is first of all the importance of us surrendering ourselves to you. And when we surrender ourselves to you, we are called to live in obedience to your word and to praise you, not only in our words, but also in our actions. Lord, we often find ourselves falling short. And therefore, Lord, we ask that you would forgive us and help us to see our shortcomings. And give us strength, Lord, to overcome those shortcomings and to allow you and your Spirit to lift us up, to encourage us in truth, and to carry us forward and to know that you are there with us. You are our rock. And Lord, may we always build on that in faith. We pray as the disciples asked you, Lord, strengthen our faith. Strengthen our love one toward another. Strengthen our love towards you. And Lord, revive us, that we truly may be able to be called by your name and to be that praise to you that this world needs. We pray for your blessing upon all who hear this message today or any other time. We pray that you would comfort them, that you would be an encouragement to them and carry them through whatever they are going through, where they need to hear that message of come unto me, the words that you have spoken. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to thank each one for listening and tuning in this morning, for being a part of the service this morning. And in closing, I want to bless you with the benediction out of Romans chapter 15 and verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. May God bless each and every one.